Stop worrying about what other people think and start making those offers on your property deals. Hello, my name's Mark Fitzgerald. It's great to have you joining me here. We have to stop overthinking our offers when doing property deals. When we're actually working out the numbers and everything is in line, we know what we can offer, we know the deals that we can be doing, we have to just start making those offers. I see far too many people that won't put the offer in because somebody's told them they want this set price, then they've gone away, they've worked out the numbers, and they cannot match the price that people want. At the end of the day, it's all a negotiation. So don't worry about what they're asking for. What you have to do is find out what their problem is. What is a problem that they currently have with their property deals? So let's go for a rent-to-rent deal, shall we? We love talking about rent-to-rents on this channel because I've built rent-to-rent businesses in both HMOs and serviced accommodation. I know, and I have done plenty of deals where people have said to me, you're not offering me enough. That's not what I'm after. And that's fine. Take it with a pinch of salt. You might get a no and they might walk away. But then they might come back in the future. And that's something that you have to be aware of, okay? No doesn't mean not no, it just means not now. They're not motivated enough to do the deal that we want. But you have to put the offer in or you will never get the deal. So don't just think, well, I won't even bother putting my offer in now because it's below what they want. That's just crazy. So for argument's sake, you may be looking at a rent-to-rent deal. The landlord might want £2,500 in guaranteed rent. Why? Because that's what they think the property's worth. That's what they think is a fair price for it. But then when you've actually weighed up, you look at the rooms. You then work out what you can make on the property yourself by letting it out at a good standard. And you can only offer, let's say for argument's sake, £1,700 to maybe £1,800 pounds in guaranteed rent. These are hypothetical figures, but I see people then saying, I can't put an offer in. Why not? Is the question I ask. And they'll say, because they want £2,500 and I can only offer them £1,700. And you've got to get out of your own way. You've got to put the offer in. But I'm going to help you here and now with a few steps you need to put into place when doing this. You can't just say, you want £2,500. I'm going to offer you £1,700. Let's do a deal. Because they'll probably turn around and say, on your bike, son. Okay? In most cases. All right. It's about you showing them the value that you offer that comes at a bit of a cost, their asset being looked after. Whether you're doing HMOs, that was a hypothetical HMO question, or you're doing serviced accommodation as well. Both of those strategies, if when done correctly, should mean that we are looking after their asset, their property, in the best possible manner. So it's not depreciating over time. In fact, if anything, it'll stay the same or go up. Okay? We've got to know what their problem is. If we do not know the vendor, whoever, even if this is somebody selling a property, if we do not know what they're after, what they want, and what their problem is, then we cannot see if we can find that solution for them. We cannot make them the best offers, okay? We've got to be looking at their problem and if we have the solution for it. And in some cases, we won't have the solution, okay? Some cases, there will not be any point in putting the offer in because it's not what they need, it's not what they want. If somebody needs to sell a property now because they need all the money out of it and you go and offer them a rent-to-rent deal, that's not really gonna work. Now, if it's been on the market for a long time and it's not selling, and yes, they would like the money, but it's not necessarily gonna be the be all and end all in their life if they don't get the money right here and now, then of course you can offer a rent-to-rent deal. You can offer a purchase lease option deal potentially as well. So there's loads of different ways you can do these things. But we have to make sure that we are trying to give them the solution that they need. All right, forget about money, forget about offers, forget about everything else. It's all about a solution. How can we ease potentially the pain that they've got? And that's why it's so important to find somebody who is motivated. Now, when I say motivated, what do I mean by that? I mean somebody who has a problem. If I put one of my properties out there and I say I want a guaranteed rent each month, but the property has no problems, I'm having no problems, and somebody comes and offers me really low money, I'm not motivated to do that deal because I don't have a problem to fill. I just want guaranteed rent because it sounds nice and would be nice to have. Okay, but then a few months down the line, I might get hit with some maintenance problems. I might have a few voids. People have moved out and we haven't filled the rooms properly. All of a sudden, that lower offer is actually more than I'm getting now. And now I've got all the work to do to put people in the properties, to get the maintenance things fixed as well. All of a sudden, I start to become motivated. And all of a sudden, somebody then says to me, well, you want 2.5 grand. The maximum I can offer is 1700 or 1800 pounds. I might be thinking to myself, well, I'm actually only getting 1400 at the moment with everything that's going on. I quite fancy that 1700 or 1800 pounds. Yeah, I'll do that. Motivated. Okay, if you're not talking to somebody who's willing to negotiate with you and see the value in what you're offering, particularly when you're doing rent-to-rent deals, then they're not motivated enough, and that's fine. Leave them alone and go back to them later on to see if that changes. It's a numbers game at the end of the day. Don't ever worry about, oh, I've spoken to 3 or 4 landlords and none of them have accepted my offers. None of them are motivated enough, or you're not selling your services properly. You're not selling your services in a manner that they see the value in what it is you offer. Now, this is something we go into in a lot of detail in my training, the Rent-to-Rent Business Builder, because your value and what you can offer people is everything. Is everything, because people buy and people do deals with other people on emotion and know, like, and trust. And if you can get those as an ecosystem, you are halfway there. In fact, you're probably 3/4 of the way there. You just need to come to an agreement with the numbers and you will start getting deal after deal after deal. Listen, if you need help with anything like this, then visit thepropertyunleashed.com. We have ebooks there. We've got some new books coming out actually, which I've put a lot of time and effort into, in serviced accommodation, HMOs, rent to rent, deal sourcing, property investing. They're all completely free and they're available at thepropertyunleashed.com. We have masterclass trainings in serviced accommodation and rent to rent as well, which are 100% free. We have deal analyzers all there to help you get started. And then if you want to take it to the next level, then of course you can join us on our paid training programs and community, but that's entirely up to you. But check out thepropertyunleashed.com, help yourself to the free tools and resources, and start to get as much knowledge as you can in the sectors that you want to go down. So, what do we need to be looking at? We need to be breaking deals down. So let's go back to my example at the beginning. The landlord wants 2.5 grand in rent because maybe that's what's coming into the property, okay? They haven't taken into account the maintenance that they have. They haven't taken into account the utilities, the gas, the electric, the council tax, the cleaning, the Wi-Fi, the water, anything else that that property might have. If it's got a garden, the gardening that they're paying for as well. They don't take any of that into. A lot of landlords just look at the top whack, the top amount that they're earning. So what I say to my students and what I'm saying to you now is you've got to start breaking it down step by step, piece by piece with them. If they're doing, whether they're doing serviced accommodation, whether they're doing HMOs, they will have voids. Okay. Serviced accommodation is very, very rare to have 100% occupancy. If you have, you're probably not charging enough unless you've got a block booking, which is great and fine. HMOs, you will have people coming and going, moving out. There will be turnover. There will be changes, change arounds. But the thing is, trust me, when you're a rent-to-rent operator, you turn it around a lot quicker than anybody else will. Why? Because letting agents have loads of properties to fill, but we don't. We only have a handful. So we really are proactive in what we're doing and we can normally fill them very, very, very quickly. My students can normally fill them before they're actually empty. Somebody moves out, they give it a good clean and everything, somebody else is moving in. Why? Because that's what we show them how to do. But you want to be doing that. But you really want to be breaking everything down and showing them step by step. Hello, Mr. Landlord or Mrs. Landlord. Okay, you want £2,500. I'm going to offer you this. And this is because we need to take off the bills We need to take off the minor maintenance issues. We need to take off, you know, all the utilities, everything, even cleaning, because we have cleaners going in there. And then what are you left with? Ask them, are they self-managing or do they have a letting agent at the moment managing the property for them? Because if they do, you're going to be looking to take 10, 12, 15% off of that as well. And of course, what you have to remember is as well, if they are self-managing, they're used to getting a bit more money because they're not taking those percentages off. Don't panic, but just remember that your service removes that. So it's a bit like having a management agent, and that does come at a cost. And they have to see that cost. They have to see the value in having you managing their property. So once you've taken all of that off, and I always tell people to do this with the landlord, sit down, take them for a coffee if you've looked at a property or you want to send over your offer. You know, you're going through the negotiations. I always say sit down with them and break it down step by step. Don't take a spreadsheet and do that in front of them. Take it on a piece of paper so you can write down how much would you say your maintenance is costing you, you know, over the course of each month or potentially over 12 months. And also remember what they've told you while you're walking around it. You've got to ask good questions. Oh, our maintenance has been quite high recently and agents are charging us for them. So if we put down, you know, 15% over the year on what you're actually making, would that be fair? Well, yeah, that could be. Yeah, that sounds about right. Voids. You said to us that you've had a few voids. How about 15% potentially over the year, or maybe even 20% for voids? What they normally come back to is, voids aren't that bad. Well, yeah, but we've just looked at your property. You've got two rooms empty, and you said one of them's been empty for a month, and the other one's been empty for about 2 or 3 months. So that is pretty substantial. So 15% is probably fair, isn't it? Yes. And you're working that into their equation. You're putting then, sowing the seed in their mind of them saying yes, of working out these things with you. So all of a sudden they're saying yes to this. The bills and utilities cost this, don't they? The bill, we might even be able to get that down a bit for you because we look to make the properties as energy efficient as possible. Another thing that we show our students. So that you're maximizing your profits, of course. So we go down this list and everything. And then in the end, it normally shows that they're probably making about, I don't know, £1,200, £1,300, £1,400. That's when you can say, well, that's probably actually on a monthly basis what you're actually making. You know, you may have some months where it's up, you may have some months where it's a bit, but that's on an average over 12 months. Now, we're going to come in here and we're going to offer you this amount, which is probably going to be more. So you could say £1,700 in this instance. How does that sound? And that's how you start breaking it down to get them to understand what you're trying to do and stop not wanting to make the offer. Okay, you've got to get out of your own way. Listen, when you make an offer, when you're doing property investing, rent to rent, whatever strategy, you have to be embarrassed when you put that first offer in. You need to feel uncomfortable. If you just put that offer in and you think, oh, guns blazing, that's a perfect offer, and they say yes straight away, you've offered too much, okay? You really want them to be saying no. The first offer you put in, you want them to say no. Why? Because if they say yes, hey, it might be great, it might work for everybody, let's go, happy days. But if they say no, you can then help them as well to be able to understand the value in you. You can also then, because what you've got to do is put your offer in lower than what you can afford to give them and then be able to push it up a bit. Why? Because everybody loves a bargain. Everybody loves to feel like they've done well and everybody likes to win. Now, if they can think that they've won by you being able to put your offer up by 50, 60, 100 pounds to what you first originally offered, and you can say, listen, I really want to work with you. I really like you. We can do a superb job for you. So I'm going to put my offer up to the maximum that we can possibly do and squeeze out of this now to make it worthwhile for everybody is this. A lot of the times people say, I'll tell you what, I'll meet you halfway. Let's do it. And then they feel that they've won. Oh, it's great. We got an extra 100 pounds. Hey, you were going to offer that anyway. So you haven't lost. But they feel like they've got something. It stops buyer's remorse. It means everybody's happy. You get a win-win situation and we move forward. But you've got to make sure that you're putting those offers in. Do your numbers and then put the offer in. Whether or not it's an offer they'll accept or not is a different matter. And if they won't accept it at all and they don't even want to know or don't even want to hear about it, then just basically say to them, that is an offer for the next 30 days. So please do feel free to come back to us. Okay. We can make sure that we will follow up with you. But equally to that, we will honor that offer for the next 30 days. After that, we might have to renegotiate because we don't know where the market's going to be. It could be up, it could be down. So if you want to take action on that, it's great. And equally to that, in 30 days time, we will just do a quick follow up with you just to see whether anything has changed and whether you need any help with anything. Is that all right with you? I've never had anybody say, no, don't bother contacting me again. It might be different. You might get that. I've never had that. And you've almost asked for permission to be able to follow up with them. And of course, in 30 days, they may be more motivated than they were when we sat down and spoke to them right here, right now. So make sure you're putting those offers in. Go for no, as they say. There's a fantastic book called Go for No. Get it on Amazon, read it. Puts a real spin on what we go. We're always trying to look for the yes. We want everybody to say yes to us. But actually, when you have to go out there and try and get 10 no's a day, then if you ring the first person and get a yes, you've still got to make another 10 calls at least to get those 10 no's. So it sort of twists everything and changes the way you think. It really is a powerful book. It's only a little tiny book as well. So have a little listen to it or buy it. A physical book is great. You'll read it in a couple of hours, no problem whatsoever. Go for no, but make sure you're putting those offers in. You know, don't ever say, oh, it's not even worth sending that. Just send it anyway. For the email doesn't, I was going to say for the price of an email, and an email doesn't cost you anything. So send it across with an email, follow it up with a phone call, but also explain to them. Let me just explain to you why I've come back to you with this offer. I know this offer is below what you want and what you were expecting, but let me just explain to you why I've come back with that. And let's take it from there. I hope you've enjoyed this. I hope you've taken something away from it. And if you have, then do feel free to like, follow, subscribe, share. Do check out thepropertyunleashed.com for all of those free tools and resources to help you become a successful property investor. I'm on a mission to try and help people become successful property investors. Why? Because I didn't think it was achievable when I started, yet here I am and I have done it. And I want to help you to do the same. So, join me in the next episode now. Take care, and I'll see you soon.